Talk, and Jane Skates is all set to lead us this afternoon. It's a delight to welcome Jane. Jane's been part of the church for many years and an accomplished home group leader, but this is her first outing into this realm. So it's a delight to welcome you. Let's pray for you, Jane, if we may. Father, thank you for Jane, and we ask that you would be with us too as we hear your word to us this afternoon. Speak clearly, we pray, through Jane. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Martin. Well, good afternoon, everyone. So today's Advent Sunday, as Fiona so eloquently explained, yes, we usually think of it in terms of the build-up to Christmas and the anticipation of the birth of the baby Jesus. But Advent means something more in the church calendar, and today we're going to think of it in terms of the second coming of Jesus. And that's what our reading in Mark was all about today. Let me set the biblical scene for you. Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives with about four of his disciples, and they're looking at the view, and what they can see is the temple. What a beautiful building, one of the disciples says. Yes, it's Jesus, it is beautiful. But you know, none of these buildings will stand. This will all be torn down in time to come. Well, you can just imagine their reaction, can't you? What? What? How? When will this happen? How will we know? There will be signs, said Jesus, signs that the time is near. But actually, no one in the except the Father in heaven knows exactly when this will be, the day and the time. Even I don't know. Well, signs? What signs? Well, Jesus explains that there will be wars and earthquake, famine, disease, desolation, death. Well, I would think that most of us have experienced one or perhaps more, or heard about at least of these signs, even in our own lifetime. Wars in Afghanistan, Syria, Israel, Yemen. And invariably, wars will bring about famine. They certainly bring desolation, disease, and death. There have been earthquakes in North and South America in this century alone, and the Philippines and Greece and many more places. And just a minute, we're living through a world pandemic. Over millions of people have died worldwide, over 58,000, in the UK alone of this disease, COVID-19. Is this all doom and gloom? Well, no, wait a minute, it's not. As Jesus says, there's good news at the end of this story. He tells his disciples in our reading today that this good news is there for everyone. I'll say more in a minute. The first advent of Jesus has already happened. He's there with them. So, you know, the disciples did believe that Jesus was the Messiah, but Jesus wasn't quite the Messiah that the Jews wanted or were expecting. They wanted someone who was going to free them from the Roman occupation. But Jesus knew he was about his Father's business, and his salvation was a spiritual one. He said that when this time comes, and this is the good news, the Son of Man himself will be coming in clouds and with great power and glory. Interestingly, clouds are quite often mentioned in the Bible when God puts in an appearance on earth. So why is this happening? Well, Jesus says that he will send his angels to gather together all the believers from the heavens and the earth, so those living and those dead, to go to be with his Father in heaven for eternity. Now, we have hindsight and we know that Jesus died, rose again and ascended into heaven to be with his Father, and that he sent the Holy Spirit into the world to be with us in the world. John tells us in his gospel, very famous verse, that all who believe on him will not perish, but have eternal life. That's the good news of God. That's the rescue plan. Wow, what a Christmas celebration that will be. But there's a PS to this story. It's a prescript as opposed to a postscript, really. Jesus tells his disciples earlier in the chapter that this good news is for everyone. But everyone must hear it. So I'm thinking of the second advent of Jesus in terms of expectation and anticipation and preparation for his second coming. Now, when I was a child, my grandmother always used to come and stay with us at Christmas. Oh, there was great anticipation at her visit because we knew that my Nan would spend time with us. Something that our loving but busy, hardworking parents didn't really have time to do. We were told the day and time when she was coming, so we would all wait expectantly in the bay window for her to come down the front steps. We would expect her to bring her playing cards and all her Christmas carol song sheets that she'd collected over the years. In preparation for her visit, my mother would clean the house and make up a bed for her, and obviously prepare and make lots of lovely food for us all. But as children, our preparation was to go around the house and find all our board games, all our favourite storybooks that we wanted her to read to us, and the biggest puzzle that we could find that she would do with us over the Christmas period. My Nan always delivered. She never disappointed. Now, I found out some interesting facts getting ready for today. The references in the Bible to Jesus' second coming compared to those of his first outnumber by about 8 to 1. At least 40 of the 66 books in the Bible mention his second coming. Jesus himself referred to his second coming at least 20 times during his lifetime. Old Testament characters are new, but Enoch, as quoted by Jude, the book of Daniel, Zechariah, quoted in Matthew, they all referred to the second coming of Jesus. Now, this indicates to me that this upcoming event is of great importance to God. Therefore, it's of great importance to us. As a generation, we might anticipate that Jesus is going to come again soon, as we have experienced quite a lot of the signs of the ends of the age, as sometimes this is referred to. But then probably so has every generation since this was written. We expect Jesus to come to judge the living and the dead. We say that in the Apostles' Creed in the Church of England. I think the most important thing is actually the preparation for Jesus' second coming. Am I one of the elect? Where do I stand with God? Do I believe that what Jesus said and did was true? Only I can answer that, but the same applies to you. Mark tells us in verse 26 that Jesus will return. We read in Philippians that everyone will recognize him. And in the book of Revelation, we read that judgment will begin. Now, on this day, in preparation, Jesus tells his disciples to be on guard, to be alert, to keep watch. So what does that mean for us today? Remember, Jesus said that everyone must hear the good news of God. Now, a few weeks ago, someone challenged me and asked when I last shared my story of faith, would I even know what to say? When I was a child, we used to learn scripture verses quite often, and some of them have stuck with me for life. For example, one in Proverbs that says, "The Lord will be your confidence," and one in Psalms 81 that says, "Open wide your mouth and I will fill it," not with food, obviously, but with words. Now, Jesus tells his disciples here that they will be challenged about their faith, but when they are, they can ask the Holy Spirit to give them the words to say. That's the same for us today. If I'm asked about my faith, then I have the confidence that I can ask the Holy Spirit to give me the right words to say to that person at that time, to meet them where they are in their lives. But we do read in James that faith, or speech, if you like, must be accompanied by action. Now, Jesus has got this covered too. He told his disciples that whilst they watch and wait, each will have their own assigned task. What's my assigned task? What do you think yours could be? We all have attributes or gifts, if you like. And when we use them, we could use them to show God's love to the world. Excuse me. If we have accepted that what Jesus says and does and did was true, then that has to have an influence on our life. That has to impact on the way that we live our lives, the things we think, the things we say and do. Now, usually at Christmas, there's lots of opportunity to show love. And even in these restricted and troubled times, we can show love by simple acts of kindness. We heard from Isaiah this morning in Martin's sermon that we should gladly do right. A phone call perhaps to someone who lives alone or who is self-isolating. A food parcel may be left on someone's doorstep. A card, letter or text message just saying, thinking of you, how are you? Generally at Christmas, we do know how to show love to those we do love. We buy presents. We share our homes, our food, our time. This year might be different because it will. If we do it, it'll be done with great caution. But could we show love to those we don't know or those who might be considered unlovely? I mean, there are charities such as Crisis who work with the homeless and do a great job over Christmas, or perhaps UNICEF and Tear Fund, who always respond to world catastrophes. I mean, they always need input. They always need money and our prayer. It's just a thought. My husband always used to say that we are saved to serve. And if we strive to have the mind of Christ in our everyday lives, we're onto a winner. Now, even though we don't know the day and the time, this isn't just for Christmas, is it? No. We could live our lives as if it's going to happen any time. How do we do that? Regularly spending time with God, praying, talking to him, listening, that's prayer. Sometimes it's hard to understand what we read in the Bible, but we could use daily Bible reading notes. It's helpful sometimes to know what other people think the Bible means to them. Now, I love to read and I've read quite a lot of books during lockdown. So how about if we set ourselves a challenge during Advent to read one book of the Bible, perhaps one chapter a day? We'd have finished it by Christmas. Start with Luke. I think Martin suggested that this morning. 24 chapters, one down, 65 to go. It is difficult to be in the church building at the moment, but if we have the technology, then we can share with other believers online. But we can perhaps watch God TV or listen to Christian radio, and we all have telephones. In conclusion, the expectation is that Jesus will come again in glory, and he will gather together all those who believe in him to go to be with his Father in heaven for eternity. The anticipation is that bad things will happen before that time, but there is good news at the end for all who believe. And that's why all must hear it. The preparation is living a life close to God, asking God to do how to do the next right thing or the next act of kindness, and ways to show his love to the world. Allowing the Holy Spirit to influence our lives by listening to God and obeying. This gospel, the good news of God, is for everyone. And because we don't know when the second advent will happen, living as though it's any time now. Jesus told us, Jesus said, love God and love others as ourselves. Happy Advent, everyone.